Good evening. We started this morning trying to consider a couple of things that we could use as New Year's resolutions that not necessarily we would keep without ever breaking this year, but would be beneficial if we strove to keep them, if having broken them, to recognize it along the way and pick up again and start over again. And we started out in John 13, and that's where I would like to continue tonight. John's Gospel, chapter 13. The subject this morning was basically the subject of the washing of regeneration. The second cleansing that takes place when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice that in 1 John 1:7, we read, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that means that our fellowship is with the Father. You notice that because it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our guilt. The problem with the Old Testament sacrifices were they covered sin. They were looking forward to Calvary, and there was just a covering placed over the sin. That was the blood of lambs and goats and bulls and cattle, turtle doves if you were poor. But that was a covering. It could do nothing to purge the conscience. And what we were looking forward to was the time when the Lord Jesus Christ would cleanse our sins and wash them away. Wash them, not cover them. Wash them away. They're gone forever. And because they're gone forever, we have the ability to have a guiltless conscience with God. The penalty for sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it must die. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sin in his own body on the tree. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the cleansing of the blood. But then there is the washing, the cleansing that comes from the washing of regeneration. And in chapter 13, we were noticing that the disciples were getting their feet washed. The word that Peter uses, or that the Lord uses when discussing the subject with Peter, Peter says in verse 9, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. When he finds out that if his feet aren't washed, he has no ability to commune with Christ. Sin comes in. The telephone lines are cut. There's no communion with God when there's sin, unconfessed sin in our life. We can do the works, we can go through the motions, we can act it out as best as we know how, and it is just going to go up in smoke someday. We might have everybody fooled. Remember, Judas was never suspected. Now you stop and think about that for a moment. When something is wrong, everybody is always looking for somebody else to blame. It's human nature. Adam did it from the beginning. That's why he has to be told to love his wife. What kind of a love is it when God says to Adam, what'd you do? Oh, the woman you gave me made me do it. He blamed his wife instead of being a man and taking the blame for her. What kind of love is that? And that's the same problem here. These disciples were even arguing over, who's going to sit on his right hand, who's going to sit on his left hand. They were all out of sorts. But when the Lord said that there was someone sitting there in their midst, and they would be the one, and that one person was going to betray him, turn him over to the enemy, the disciples thought of everybody but Judas. That's how good a life Judas led. That's how polished and phony his hypocrisy was. He had everybody fooled. So, I forget why I got on that subject. But anyway, when it came to the washing of regeneration, it's something that we all need. We are washed, and when Peter says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. The fellowship with, when Peter finds out in verse 8 that you're not going to have any part with me, you won't be able to fellowship with me. If you're not in fellowship, if there's unconfessed sin in your life, you can't have fellowship with God. Even though he sees us as clean every whit, as he sees us without sin in Christ, yet unconfessed sin interrupts the fellowship. We're never told how long David went and languished after having sent Uriah the Hittite to his death. But the Bible doesn't tell us the time between giving Uriah the note and sending Nathan the prophet in to have a little heart-to-heart talk with David. But David's heart was churning. And David was all upset inside. And he was ready to explode. And he did explode. Have the man killed. Oh, well, David... Wait a minute, don't talk too fast. You sure you want that punishment to be that severe? You're the man, David. That note, you don't think God didn't know about that note that Uriah delivered? You don't think that God didn't know what took place when your armies were off to war and you were sitting home peering over the balcony window? David, who are you kidding? You know God better than that. But for all that time, there was no communion between God and David. David's heart wasn't writing psalms. They weren't just being peeled off like the sweet psalmist of Israel that he was. That's what unconfessed sin does. It eats like a canker. And it just eats. And it eats. And it's like, remember that slide we saw, those of you that were out Tuesday night, of the gangrene in the young boy's elbow and how the bone had rotted away and the flesh had just, that's unconfessed sin. That's what it does. So the Lord Jesus says to Peter, Peter, you have to have your feet washed. Because when your feet are dirty, you can't have any part with me, not in me. In me is salvation. You don't lose your salvation when you sin. But the Bible never makes a claim that once saved, you're not going to have, you're going to live a sinless life. The Bible never makes it. But the Bible does tell us that when we are saved, we are going to have all the help necessary to live as best as we can live. Actually, as best as we want to live. All the power that's necessary to live a life pleasing to God is supplied by the Spirit of God at conversion. So, John 13, and this subject of the washing of regeneration. He says, you only need to be bathed once. Let's get to the verse. That's verse 10. Jesus says to Peter, he that is bathed, that's not washed as in the King James, that's bathed there. Everywhere else the word wash is correct. But here it's bathed. You get up in the morning, you go, or you come in after a hard day's work, you're going out to dinner, you take a shower, you got washed up, you got cleaned up, dressed up, walked out, and in those days you walked down dusty roads. So when you got to your host's house, if he didn't have servants, maybe one of his children. The one time the Lord, you remember, said to the Pharisee, you didn't even wash my feet. But this woman hadn't ceased to wash my feet with her tears since she came in. But that was the common Oriental practice of the day, was to wash your guests' feet. Because the dirt of walking we live in a pretty filthy world, don't we? And it's getting filthier by the minute. Just in my last half of my lifetime, I have seen things that in the first half of my lifetime, I never dreamed I would see. And I'm not that old. But in the past 25 years, this world has gotten so rotten, it makes that boy's elbow look like a clean, spanking new elbow. The filth that we pass through. The filth that surrounds us. If you watch television, I don't care what you watch. If you watch television, you're going to get inundated with it. If you spend any time with the world around you, you're going to get pressed into its mold. It doesn't happen, boom. Satan doesn't come and throw some great hypocrisy at you or some terrible sin and try to talk you into doing it. And that's not the way he works. This pressing into its mold is a slow, steady pressure that never lets up. And it is relentless, and it just presses, and it presses, and it presses. Until, you see, back in those days, they didn't have things like pneumatics. They used, to press things, they would use sometimes screws. And they would turn screws, and they would turn screws, and they would be on these great big, the screws would be this great big thing, and there'd be great big bar on it, and they'd be pushing maybe two or three men on a screw, depending on what they wanted to press, because it took a lot of energy to move that screw, because you were pressing something that was, but that's the way the world can do it. It's a very subtle, slow process. But all of a sudden, the things that used to make you blush, you don't even bat an eye at. The world is a filthy place. It's getting filthier. It is not going to get better. It is not going to be improved on. It's a cancer that's eaten away. Sin is a curse. And this earth has been cursed by sin, just like the human race. And pretty soon it's going to come a time when it is going to be so vile and so contemptible that God is going to fold it up like an old garment and do away with it completely. So the Lord Jesus in verse 10 says to Peter, he that is bathed, that happens at conversion. You are washed, the washing of regeneration takes place at conversion. He that is bathed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. It's an incredible thought. Just stop sometime when you have nothing to do. If it's 5 minutes or if it's a half hour, the more time you can spend, the more blessing it's going to be to your soul. Just dwell on those words. You are clean every way. Absolute phenomenal truth. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. You're clean every way. But not Judas, because Judas was still there. So then we went over to Titus, and I got sidetracked with my story about the old Greek tale about the sow that wanted to look like a lady. That I sort of left the Cretans hanging. But they were a nasty lot. Let's go back to Titus. Paul says they've got a man that says one of their own says that they are terrible and they are filthy and they are I skipped the book. Second Timothy comes before. They have their own person in Crete that said that they were one of themselves, verse 12 of chapter 1, a prophet of their own. The Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies. This witness is true. Now you see, to wash away their sin, the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, to wash away their sin, but to do nothing about their character would have done absolutely no good for the Cretans. Because like the sow that returns to her mud puddle, the Cretans no sooner would be cleaned up than they would be back doing it all over again. So just to forgive their sins and do nothing about their character would lead to disaster. So that is why we need the washing of regeneration. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work, This is the Christians he's talking about. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities. Obey those in authority. Obey the magistrates. Be ready to every good work. There was an elder in my assembly when I was a boy, and always tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "Whatsoever your eye seeth to do, so do it, and do it as unto the Lord, not unto men." Eye for good works. You see not something that needs to be done. Oh, let's have a committee. Let's pick somebody else. No, the Lord pointed it out to you for a reason. Maybe he wants you to do the job. It's always a possibility. You got to be careful, though, because sometimes that tends to lead you to walking around with your eyes closed so that you don't see anything. But then you trip over things and end up with broken body parts, which is very painful. So sometimes it pays to just walk around with your eyes open. And be ready for every good work. To speak evil of no man. The Christians didn't know how to do that. To be no brawlers, but gentle. How can you be a man and be gentle? Thing I used to try to constantly impress upon the teenagers that I used to work with was that it wasn't being a man to do the things that the ungodly men did. Whatever the sin was, you know the list. It wasn't a man. That didn't prove your manhood just because you could drink somebody under the table. Or you could dance all night. Or you could be out all night. Or you could drive at 145 miles an hour. That wasn't being a man. What was being a man was saying no. When your friends tried to pressure you into doing things that was wrong. That is what is being a man. At least a godly man. Be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness. So, Paul begins to put their mind in subjection to principality. It's an awful tall order for the Christians, don't you think? I mean, that's a lot to ask of a lot, but they themselves admitted they were a sleazy bunch. But look at verse 3 of chapter 3. We ourselves were sometimes foolish. Well, wait a minute, don't go looking at the Cretans. We ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceiving, serving divers lusts and pleasures, serving malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but oh my, look what we have here. But according to his mercy, he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed abroad on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You remember he would later on in the upper room tell the disciples, if I don't go away, he can't come. And you need him. Because he is going to shed upon you this washing of regeneration. That's the solution to the problem. It's slow. It's monotonous. It's a day-by-day routine. We can't get to step five by skipping three and four. We have to go with God, step one to step two, step three, step, oh, you slipped. All right. Step one to step two to step three. Oh, you slipped. Okay, it's step one to step two to step three to step four. To step, oh, you slipped. One step at a time. When we get it right, we go on. Until we get it right, we stay at the same place. God's not in a hurry. He's got all eternity to work with us. He can work with us day in and day out throughout our lives here, take us home to glory, and he's still got all eternity. Not that there's going to be sin or spots or wrinkles or blemishes, but we're constantly going to be learning throughout the endless ages of eternity. But the process of removing these things that distort our personality. Well, let's look at verse 5. Did we read that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy which he saves us, through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's how God works. So it is washing our sins by the blood. He reminded them of that by pouring that cup, not with water, but with wine, telling them to drink of it. He filled the basin, not with wine, but with water, and told them to bathe with it.